Okay. So let's go to 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2 from verse 19. 2 Kings chapter 2 from verse 19. It says, "And the men of the city said unto Elisha, Behold, I pray thee, the situation of this city is pleasant as my Lord seeth, but the water is not, and the ground barren. And he said, Bring me a new cruse, and put salt therein. And they brought it to him, and he went forth unto the spring of the waters, and cast the salt in there, and said, Thus saith the Lord, I have healed these waters. There shall not be from thence any more death or barren land. So the waters were healed unto this day, according to the saying of Elisha which he spake."
Hallelujah.
So this was shortly after Elisha had received the mantle from Elijah. The Bible says that he crossed over, and so this was what was happening. The people came to him wherever he was. They said that it was a beautiful place, but the water was bad. And the water had poisoned the ground. And recently, there was a train derailment in Ohio. In Ohio, a place called East Palestine. That was the name of the town or city. So the train derailed, and apparently it had some toxic waste in the train cars. And instead of these people to actually go and evacuate the thing, they decided to dispose of it right there. And it poisoned the water. Animals dead and all those things, people feeling sick all the way. And apparently that particular Ohio River supplies a significant portion of the United States. So this is just, you can imagine, this is something that is happening here. When the water is bad, the ground is also bad. So that's what happened. And then the Bible says that they came to Elisha. And then he said they should bring him a new cruse and put salt in it. So they gave him that, and the Bible says he went to the fountains of the water, or the spring of the water, and cast the salt in there. And then he gave the word. Okay. Now, the Bible says that the waters were healed. So sometimes people get carried away by whether it's tokens, the signs and the tokens that, maybe in this case, he used some salt, a bowl of salt, when he put it there. So some people form a doctrine on salt. And then, but you would find out how the thing was healed. It says, so the waters were healed, not according to the salt, the bowl of salt. It says, according to the saying of Elisha. And the word there is rhema, according to the rhema of Elisha, which he speak. It says that is what caused the work to be done. That is what caused the work to be done. But sometimes you find people, they jump onto this bandwagon, and it's one thing, salt, grass, whatever, but it has to be based on what? Rhema. And the Bible says that according to the rhema of Elisha, which he speak. Now let's go to 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 17. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 17. So 2 Kings, this was a place that Elisha used to pass back and forth. So anytime he would pass, the woman would say, please come in and eat something. And the Bible says that she constrained him. So he came in and ate. And after a while, the Bible says that she told her husband that, this is a holy man of God. Let us make an apartment for him on top of their building. So, and put a table, a chair, and a bed, so that whenever he was passing, he could rest a bit before continuing his journey. So they did that. So the Bible says that after a while, Elisha called the woman and with his servant and said, what does she want? She said she was fine. Elisha said, do you want me to speak to the king for you, or the army commander, or anybody? Elisha had access, you know. So he said, no. You don't need to do anything like that. I am among my own people, so I'm okay. Then he said, what can we do for her? And the Bible says that his servant said she didn't have a child. Now look at what is happening here. Elisha, it was no word of knowledge. She didn't pick up by word of knowledge that the woman didn't have a child. So if the word of knowledge is there, it's good. But you realize that in this case, she didn't need the word of knowledge, because the information was there. Someone calls it word of information. As in somebody giving you information. So in this case, it was his servant who said she didn't have a child. It was not that the Lord had revealed to Elisha. Maybe he didn't pay attention to any of those things. Sometimes it can be like that. You can be like, know someone for a long time and not know certain things about them. I remember some time ago, I remembered somebody. Then I realized that I had never noticed actually that the person didn't have a child. I hadn't noticed it. Yet. So it's possible to be there and Elisha would come in, eat, sleep, and go and not notice that anything was happening. But then the Bible says that the woman said, "Oh, man of God," he said, "don't lie to your handmaiden." The Bible says that Elisha said a year by this time. So let's read what Elisha told the woman. Okay. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. Where he said Elisha had said again is what? Rhema. So this was what Elisha had said. This was the rhema that Elisha had given her. Even though, like I said, he didn't pick this up by word of knowledge, God revealed it to him or whatever. The Bible says that he was looking for what her need was. And obviously, you could see, he didn't know what it was. But when he knew, he gave her the word. And it happened exactly as he said. Again, it's what? Rhema. It's the rhema of Elisha that got the job done. Let's go to chapter 6, 2 Kings from verse 15. 2 Kings chapter 6 from verse 15. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, "Alas, my master, how shall we do?" And he answered, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." Glory. You know, Elisha had seen this. You have to remember that Elisha had seen this. He was saying this based on he had seen the they that be with us, he had seen them. He had seen them when Elijah was taken away. Because remember what Elijah said? Elijah said, "If you see me go, what you are asking for, the double portion that you are asking for will be yours. But if you don't see me, it will not be yours." So Elijah, the Bible says, was taken up to heaven in a whirlwind. And the Bible says that when Elisha saw him go, he said, "My father, my father." Now, so he saw him go. So he said it, "My father, my father." Then he said, "The chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof." You see that? The chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof. The Bible says that he was separated from Elijah by what? Chariots and horses of fire. So he saw the chariots and horses of fire. Remember that there were some prophets, the Bible says sons of the prophet, who had gone to climb a hill and they were around, they were looking at them, but they didn't know what happened. So this was by revelation. Like Elijah told him that if you see me go, then it will be yours. If you see me. So in this case, he saw. So he saw the chariots of fire. He saw the horsemen of fire also. Hallelujah. So he saw it. So this was something that he saw. Now, these chariots of fire and the horsemen thereof that Elijah saw, they didn't go up to heaven with Elijah. They didn't go up to heaven with Elijah. These were the angels that were ministering for Elijah. Okay, because of Israel. These were his angels, or these were Israel's angels, and they were assigned to Elijah. So Elijah said, "My father, my father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof." So he saw it. So now these angels now began to minister to and for Elisha. So when he said that they are more with us than with them, he knew what he was talking about because he had seen them. Okay, now then he says, Elisha prayed and said, you see, so it tells you something. He prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." He may see what? What I have seen. You see that? He may see what I have seen. So he had seen this. So he wanted the servant also to see. So then he says, "And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha." Okay. Now, I'm going to verse 18. It says that, "And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, smite these people with, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness again, according to the rhema of Elisha. Do you see that? Sometimes when you read it, you think it's according to the saying of Elisha. But it's according to the rhema of Elisha. That's what got the job done. You see? So he said, smite them with what? Blindness. And the Bible says, and he smote them with blindness according to the rhema of Elisha. So you find that the rhema is what? Creating things, doing things, getting things done here. Okay. The point I want to make is that you cannot, and I will develop that point, you cannot have the rhema without the logos. Okay? It is not possible to have the rhema without the logos. This is why you will find the Bible says that the people came from all over. They came to hear Jesus and to be healed. They came to hear Jesus and to be healed. Okay. Now, Elisha said to the woman, he said, a year by this time you will embrace a son. Now, how different is that from a doctor telling somebody that, oh, you are pregnant? Because you can see that the person is pregnant. And so a year by this time you embrace, or 9 months or whatever, you embrace. Like, how different is that? But this one is based on what? Rhema. Because as for the words, they are not new. It's the Spirit of God breathing on them that gives them what? That quickens them. And so the Spirit of God, I said rhema is what? Logos in action. And how does the logos get into action? It's when the Spirit of God quickens the word. Because otherwise, the woman's servant could have said to her, yeah, by this time. But this was all based on rhema. Rhema, rhema. And I said, you cannot have the rhema without, you cannot get rhema without the logos. And in the logos, you will find the rhema. In the logos is the whole body of truth. Everything, including the thoughts, the intentions of God and everything, you find all that. In it, you will find what? The rhema. Let's go to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verse 3. It says that, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. So Jesus was speaking to them. He said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. Okay? He said that, I am the vine and my Father is the husbandman. And then he said, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he taketh away. Right? And every branch in me that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth what? More fruit. Then he goes on to say that, and ye are clean. He says that, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Now when he says that my Father purges it, people have said, like, you know, they have this idea of God, like, viciously cutting off things. Right? Okay. So that's what they said. But the word actually is the same word for when he said you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. So he tells you how the Father does the cleaning. It's through the word. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Yes. It's like God goes on a rampage, takes your business, like, you know, all those kinds of things. That's not what he said. And the word is the same as he said, you are clean through the logos, the word that I have spoken unto you. So he said, you are clean through the logos which I have spoken unto you. Now this is important to note, because he didn't say that you are clean through the rhema, but he said you are clean through the logos. And this is so you see that God, he carefully puts things in their place. He carefully put things in their place, because if he said you are clean through the rhema, then that would excuse, like, somebody said that I think they had done something and it took them 2 years to convince God to forgive them and all those kinds of things. Because maybe you have to go and look for the rhema, and who knows when the rhema will come. Do you see that? But he said you are clean through the logos. So that is it. And what is that logos? For example, somebody falling short, and what they are supposed to do is what? I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It is the logos. It is written. You see that? It is written. And it says that by doing that, it says you are clean. You are clean through the logos. Hallelujah. So that's so important to note, because your confidence, to accomplish anything, your confidence must be high. Okay? So the logos is what gets it done. You don't have to do anything. Just the logos. What is written? Like Jesus said, it is written. It is written. It is written. Hallelujah. Satan said, ah, but you said you are Christian, this and that. He said, yeah, it is written. Okay, their sins and iniquities, I will remember no more. Hallelujah. So that's it. So he says, you are clean through the logos which I have spoken unto you. Okay. Now let's go to from verse 4 to verse 6. Jesus said, abide in me and I in you. He says that as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, then he says, except it abide in the vine. Now, look at what's going on here. Remember, the Bible says what? Now, the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. Right? You know, peace, joy, you know, love, joy, peace, patience, temperance, and all that, you know. Okay. So, remember I said the fruit. Now, Jesus here is saying something. He says, the fruit. Hallelujah. Okay. He says that I am, he said, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit. So, what fruit is he talking about? That's the fruit he's talking about. The fruit of the Spirit is. So, and there he's talking about the fruit of the recreated human spirit. So, when the Bible uses spirit, it's like, when the Bible uses the word spirit, the Greek word is pneuma. So, pneuma, spirit, he could be talking about the Holy Spirit. He could be talking about the human spirit. He could be talking about demonic spirits. So, how do you know what he's referring to? In the context. The context is the context. So, you always have to read the scripture within its context. So, then he said that the fruit of the Spirit is. First, he started by talking about the works of the flesh are. So, that one he said, the works of the flesh. So, when you put the flesh to work, that's what you find. The works of the flesh are. Then he comes and talks about the fruit of the Spirit is. The fruit of the Spirit is. Patience, you know, like temperance, and which is talking about self-control and everything. So, there, and people say that, you know, you have to bear the fruit of the Spirit. So, trying to put pressure on the person. But then he says, the works of the flesh. So, when you put the flesh to work, what you find are the works of the flesh. But then he said, the fruit of the Spirit is. The fruit is a result of life. Do you see that? Nobody gets surprised when a mango tree is bearing mango fruit because it has the life of the mango. So it will bring forth the fruit of the mango. So now he says that this born again spirit, human spirit, because the Holy Spirit is not the one who bears fruit. He said, I am the vine. You are the branches. So the vine and the branches, where does the fruit grow? On the branches. So I am the vine. You are the branches. So if he says the branch that bears fruit, so where would that fruit be? On the branches. So he's not talking about the Holy Spirit, he's talking about the human spirit. So Jesus is saying that as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, he said that branch cannot bear fruit of itself. So that fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, is love, joy, peace, patience, you know, temperance and all that. Here he says that the branch cannot bear that fruit by itself. Okay. Then he goes on to say, except it abide in the vine. Remember that John 1:1 tells us that. It says, in the beginning was the Word. There is Logos. In the beginning was the Logos. The Logos was with God and the Logos was God. So, and then it says that the Logos became flesh. The Logos became a human being. So now, where it says became, in the King James says was made. The Greek is ginomai. It means became. It became. Okay, so the Word became a human being. The Logos became a human being. So this Logos that became a human being was Jesus. So Jesus is the living Logos. So now when he says that, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me. So abiding in me here, what's going to happen? You're going to abide in his Logos. That's how to bear the fruit, by abiding in the Logos. Okay. Then he says that, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. The word is not plural, it's singular. The same way it says that the fruit of the Spirit is the same fruit that Jesus is talking about here. He says that that fruit is born by abiding in the Logos. Yes. This is why you would find that people like who go to certain seminaries where they focus so much on just maybe the word, the logos, okay, just memorizing it, chanting it like over and over, you see a certain cleanness about them. You see a certain dignity about them. He says that if you abide in my logos, you will bear much fruit. Do you see that? And even if that person makes a mistake or sins or whatever, the logos will cleanse the person. You see that? Okay. So that logos is the one that is doing the work of what? Cleansing. Now let me continue. If a man... Okay, then he goes on and says that, for without me, you can do nothing. He's telling you that these fruits, you cannot bear them without me. You can't do it by yourself, you know, by strategy or whatever. He says that it is the logos. And I said that what? Fruit is the result of life. Okay. Then he says that if a man abide... Okay, before that, he said that without me, you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch. He is cast forth as a branch. He is cast forth as a branch. And is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. So, three things are happening here. So if he said, they are cast off at them as a branch, they wither, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. They wither, they are cast forth, they are burned because they didn't abide in the logos. Okay? You can extend that into anything. Suffering physical affliction. It's not because you don't have rhema, it's because they are not spending time in the logos. Do you realize that? They are not spending time in the logos. So it says that when that person does not spend time in the logos, because what is the shield of faith? I said it's taking up the logos. It's the shield of faith with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So without the logos, he has no defense. So he becomes subject to torment. That says men. It says men that gather them and put them in the fire and they are burned. But when that person abides in the logos, says no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Amen. It says with the logos you will quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Simply by saying it is written. It is written. It is written. Hallelujah. Okay. Now let's go to John chapter 15. Let's go to verse 7. He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done. So he's moving into a new territory now. First, he talked about bearing fruit. Like people, like the fruit that, because they buy their fruit, you shall know them, and all kinds of things. That fruit there, he's talking about, he has established that fruit comes about by abiding in the logos. Hallelujah. Now he moves on to another topic, and then he says, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Okay, so it says, if you abide in me, and we've already established that Jesus is what? The living logos. He's the living logos. So it says that if you abide in me, okay, so I said you cannot have the rhema without the logos. So now he's established that abiding in the logos, you bear fruit, much fruit, and there is sort of the fruit of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Then he's bringing you to another dimension where he says that my words abide in you. You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Now, look at how he links the two. If you abide in me, and he is the living logos. So if you abide in him, in his word. And then he says that, and my rhema abide in you. And my rhema abide in you. He says that, ask what you will and it shall be done. This is again why you find that in certain churches or religious organizations, they dwell on some version of the logos, right? They dwell on some version of the logos. They don't have much rhema. Not much is done there by way of miracles or anything. Have you noticed? Yes, no miracles. They believe that all those people who are chasing miracles, they are doing the wrong thing. They have to come and sit with us and not see any miracles. But they lie. It says that if you abide in me, in my logos, and my rhema abides in you. You shall ask what you will, and it shall be fabricated. The word therefore, you know where it says that in John 1, and the word became flesh. The word is what? Genomai. It means it became, right? It wasn't before, but it became like to cause to appear. Here it says that, ask what you will, and it shall be done. Again, it's what? Genomai. It says that, genomai actually means that, it says someone said, a Greek scholar, and I think this was probably some old Assemblies of God superintendent that Kenneth Hagin knew. He said that he could read the New Testament in Greek. And so Hagin asked him that, what did this mean? Like when Jesus said that, ask what you will and it will be done for you. He said that in the Greek, it means that if it does not exist, it will be created for you. If you abide in me, in my logos, and my rhema abides in you, he said that whatever you ask, it will be created for you. Amen. Hallelujah. And you see how he ties the two. That's what I'm saying, that the rhema, people try to get the rhema without the logos, and that's the problem. Hallelujah. An example is somebody whom I met some years ago, and this young lady was having some health challenges. So, and I realized she was a Christian. So I said, oh, like, aren't you a Christian? She said, oh, yes, yes. And she wouldn't let me, because I wasn't just saying, like, I was trying to help her, but she had all the answers. So she said, the way I started to give her the word, she said, oh, yes, yes, I know that. He said that by his stripes, I said, yes, finish it. Even that, she could not finish it. She couldn't quote that scripture accurately. Do you get it? So I said, okay, so what scripture are you like holding on now? What scripture? Not one healing scripture. But do you see that someone can be in that state and be going to church and everybody knows that, oh, maybe she's in a choir or she's a drama or an usher or whatever, okay? Can even be a pastor or a deacon or elder, whatever, and not have... The person does not have time for the logos. But she knows that God can heal. But Satan knows that also. Do you realize that? So what's this person expecting? This person would hear that maybe there's like a miracle, like maybe there's some inquisition going on somewhere, prophetic inquisition, and can go and write their name. Do you realize that? And yet they'll go there and they'll be wondering, I went to this minister, but there's another powerful one who has come. But you have not taken the foundational, you know, the whole 101, class 101, you have not attended. The logos, you cannot have the rhema without the logos. Now, that's not to say that by some means, because I said that rhema also means what, be, right? And it's pollination. So primarily, you know, it's from one flower to another flower. You see, it's from, if you notice that, they take the pollen from one flower to another flower. So it's from man to man, primarily. So it's from a preacher to the listener. That's how the rhema comes, primarily. Okay. Then also, you know, the wind, you can have the wind pollinate, because you can just have it blow, like, and that's happenstance. It's not deliberate, because the bee will move from one flower to the other. The wind may blow the pollen and scatter it anywhere. Do you see that? But occasionally, pollination happens like that. But it accounts for a very small percentage of what? The pollination that happens. Hallelujah. So this person will not hear the word. This person will not even spend. So, but occasionally, yes, the person, something, it may just accidentally match the wires. Hallelujah. But even the way you get into it, there's always something for God to work with. There's always something for God to work with. Hallelujah. And I'm establishing that you cannot have the rhema without the logos. Okay? And I'm going to develop this some more, because then the question then is, what about like some of the seminaries? We know that they are into the logos, and I'm putting this in inverted commas, a lot. But how come they don't have much rhema? Because if the logos abides in you, the Rhema will come. It is not possible to have the Logos without Rhema. The same way it's not possible to have the Rhema without Logos. It's not possible to have the true Logos and the Rhema will not come. So let's go on. Colossians chapter 3 from verse 16. Colossians chapter 3 from verse 16. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Okay? Let the word of Christ, the word there is Logos. Let the Logos of Christ. Let the Logos of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Okay? Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Okay? In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Okay. Let the word of Christ, let the Logos of Christ dwell in you richly. Just like Jesus said, if you abide in my Logos and my Logos abides in you. Hallelujah. And then he says you'll bear much fruit. Then he says that, again, if you abide in me and my Rhema abides in you, you will ask what you will and it will be done. It will be created for you. Now, Colossians is telling us in the epistles that let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Richly in all wisdom. Say richly.
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 Richly. Okay. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Now, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Now, I'm going over this verse again. Let the Logos of Christ dwell in you richly. The wonderful thing is that the Logos is written for us. Okay? In fact, when you see the Old Testament, where it talks about word, and then the word, which is Dabar, that we say is Rhema, the word for word, okay, like the sayings, is simply words. Okay? Rhema actually is an arrangement of words. It's an arrangement of words. So who is the one, the architect of this arrangement? The Spirit of God. He knows that this arrangement is the key for this particular situation. Hallelujah. Yeah. Okay. So it's about an arrangement. He says that let the Logos of Christ, the Logos there is the body of truth, everything, including the intents and the purposes. Actually, the translation or interpretation of the word Logos actually includes the thoughts behind the words. The thoughts behind the words, okay? And so, it's just like saying that what is God's thought behind saying something in the scripture? What is God's thought behind it? For example, it says that, for there is none righteous, no, not one, you know, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What is the thought behind it? What is the thought behind it? Because you can take that out of context. It is not the Logos of God. You are taking it out of context. When you take it in context, it says that for the all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely. Because it starts by saying, for that all have sinned. Why is it telling you that all have sinned? It says, because they are being justified freely. Hallelujah. Okay. So then it says that the Logos, this Logos of Christ, must dwell in you richly. So simply the fact that somebody has assimilated a lot of the Bible does not necessarily mean that they have the right Logos. In fact, Logos also means doctrine. Okay, doctrine. For example, you can read, somebody can read 1 Corinthians 15, and then he can read 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians. He's talking about the rapture, and all that this will do for them is to make them afraid. You see? So they are reading it, but they are not getting the doctrine. Hallelujah. Amen. They are reading it, but they are not getting the doctrine. Okay, now let me continue. He says that, and whatsoever you do in Logos, you see, or deed. There, he's talking about the doctrine. Whatever you do in Logos. And then he says that, or deed. That's why Jesus said that, why don't you understand my speech? Because you cannot hear my Logos. He told the Jews, said, you cannot hear my Logos. Why don't you understand my speech? Because you cannot hear my Logos. So they didn't understand his doctrine. He said they couldn't hear his Logos. How could that be? The people were there listening to him. But they were hearing whatever they wanted to hear. They had their own logos. Hallelujah. All right. Now, let's continue. He says that whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 13. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 13. So when he says, let the logos of Christ dwell in you richly, what logos is he talking about? So that's what I want us to find out. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 13. He said, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word is logos, is unskillful in the logos of righteousness, for he is a babe. You see, he's talking about the logos of righteousness. He said, anybody who uses milk is unskillful in the logos of righteousness, for he is a babe. Logos of righteousness. So that's one. What logos is going to produce that rhema that you require? One, the logos of righteousness. Hallelujah. Now, it's also translated as the doctrine of righteousness. The doctrine of righteousness. It's amazing how you can have people skim through the scriptures and not find the logos, because they see that, like, did you read it? He said that when evening was come, they brought many that were sick and all that and that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirit with his word and healed all that were sick, to fulfill what was written by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. And they can just read that and not see it. And then it's just continue. Do you see that? So it's an important thing, because that is why teaching of the word is so important. Because it puts the thing into context. Hallelujah. It puts it into context. Now, let's go to Acts chapter 20, verse 24. Acts chapter 20, verse 24. It says, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. You see that? To testify the gospel of the grace of God. Paul said that that is the ministry he received, not to be threatening the people of God, but to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. Hallelujah. So this is so important. He said the gospel of the grace of God. So we've talked about the logos of righteousness. Now he's talking about the gospel of the grace of God. People are not just free to be giving their own private interpretation to the scriptures. That's why he says that knowing this, that no prophecy of scripture is subject to private interpretation. Private interpretation. He said that because because prophecy never came in old time by the will of man. He said, but holy men of God speak as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So he said that prophecy of scripture is not subject to private interpretation. You see, it's the Holy Spirit who wrote the logos. So he's the one who can bring it together to form that doctrine. Praise the Lord. Now, let's go to verse 32 of Acts chapter 20. He says, and now, brethren, he said, I commend you to God and to the logos of his grace. You see that? To the logos of his grace. He said he had received the ministry to preach the gospel of the grace of God. Now he's talking about the logos of his grace. He says the logos of his grace, which is able to build you up, to build you up, and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. He said that the logos of his grace is able to build you up and deliver an inheritance to you. Hallelujah. Not just any logos, but the logos of his grace. Hallelujah. We talk about the logos of his grace, the logos of righteousness, the gospel of the grace of God. So anything that somebody is being fed that is seeking to just create anxiety, make you afraid, unsure, and unstable in your work, it's not the logos, the true logos. Hallelujah. Okay, so this is what expands on. Now let's go to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5 from verse 4. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep. When he had left what? Speaking. And we know what Jesus was speaking. He was speaking the gospel of the kingdom, isn't it? The gospel, which is good news. So the gospel of the grace of God. Jesus was talking to them. When he was done, now the background is that Peter had been fishing all night, didn't catch anything. Jesus came early in the morning and asked him that he wanted to use his boat. So he sat in the boat and taught the people. So at the end of it, he says that now when he had left speaking, he goes on to say that he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught or for a catch. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy rhema. You see? Nevertheless, at thy rhema, he says that I will let down the net. Hallelujah. Then he goes on to say that, and when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net break. Hallelujah. So this is a situation where Peter had been fishing throughout the night, didn't catch anything. Jesus came, borrowed his boat, and what was Jesus doing? He was teaching. He was giving what? The Logos. Jesus was speaking the Logos. And he did that. Jesus probably could teach for long periods. So maybe 3 hours, 4 hours, whatever, 2 hours. And when he was done speaking the word of his grace, the gospel of the kingdom, he gave the rhema. Where did that rhema come from? The rhema came from the Logos. Do you see that? The rhema came from the Logos. So which means that, so if there's something, that's why I said that some people try to go for rhema, but they want to do it by neglecting the Logos. It is in the Logos that you find the rhema. Meaning that they don't have an ear to hear. They don't want to hear the word. It is the word that will be quickened to you. Hallelujah. Amen. Even how many alphabets are there? Not that many. Just assemble them and form words. And yet, it is that same word that says, come. That Jesus said, come. And Lazarus levitated from the cave. Do you see that? So at the word of Jesus, Lazarus was quickened. So the Logos is what? Fundamental. So you have a situation like that. Somebody's trying to change something or whatever. But what should they do first? Hear the Logos. Get into the Logos. Hallelujah. Get into the Logos. Get into the Logos. And that is so important because it is that Logos. Sometimes people have secretly, they believe that God is dealing with them. Like, they're not fully convinced. That's what the Bible talks about. Abraham being fully persuaded. He didn't start off being fully persuaded. He became fully persuaded that God who promised was able to do. But that's not how he started. Okay? He had his own issues. But eventually he became fully persuaded. Hallelujah. So as you hear the word, then you become fully persuaded. Glory to God. Yes. I told you about the some years ago when I had to deal with certain health challenges. And then I said that what happened was I would experience the symptom and I would rebuke the symptom. Instantly, the symptom would leave. And then within the hour, the symptom would be back. And so that symptom would keep me awake throughout the night, into the morning. I hardly slept and everything. So one day, I lay down and I said, this usually works. Like, I was like, this usually works. Do you see that? I was like, this usually works. So what could be wrong? What could be wrong? And the moment I set, you know, the Bible says, the angel said to Daniel that when you set your heart to understand, I was sent with the answer. So the moment I set my heart to understand, the Spirit of the Lord just said, the communion, the Holy Communion. That's what he said. Now, when he said that, I knew what he was talking about. Because it was something, the Bible says, that hold fast to the things that you have heard, so that you don't let them slip away from you. And it is possible for somebody to be excited about the word of God at one time, and then they go for a long sabbatical. They haven't heard the word, but they are still believers. They still love the Lord in their heart, but the Logos is not abiding in them richly. They can let the revelation slip away from them. So I hadn't paid attention to it. Something that I used to do regularly, I was doing maybe occasionally. So then I said, okay, when he said the communion, what did I do? I went to the word. I went to the Word. I went to the Holy Bible. Hallelujah. It was the Holy Bible I went to. I went to the Holy Bible and went to from Genesis. Genesis 14, when Melchizedek came and gave the communion to Abraham. I went to Exodus 12, when God instructed Moses and Aaron to partake of that the people were supposed to kill the Passover lamb. I went to Leviticus, so it talks about the life of the animal is in the blood. I went to the book of Psalm 105, verse 37. It said, he brought them forth with silver and gold. There was not one feeble person among their tribes. Then I went to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And then when from verse 23, he said, for I have received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you. He said that the Lord Jesus, the same night he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, said that he gave it to the, he broke it and said, take it. This is my body, which is broken for you. Now, I told you from Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Psalms. Now I'm in 1 Corinthians 11. I was reading, and when I got there, when it says broken for you, it just came out to me. Do you understand that? As I was feeding on the Logos, when I got here, this was quickened. It said broken for you. And immediately I got the picture. It's like Christ died for me. So I don't have to die. He died for me. He took my place. He paid my debt. I don't have to pay it again. So when he said, broken for you, the revelation came in my spirit. Hallelujah. So immediately I said, yes, his body was broken. My body will never be broken. So now every time, now while I was doing this, daily searching the scriptures, reading the scriptures, and when I got this, as I would take the communion, I took it many times in a day. I was like a man on a mission. I took it multiple times. We could be sitting here for lunch and I'll just excuse myself. I'm going to take the communion. Thank God for the small packs, always in my pocket. I took it multiple times. If at night I felt it, I did it so many times. So now this time, broken for you had come up to me and I was taking the communion with this understanding. And I was ready for incremental healing. I was ready for it. Like 15%, 20%, 30%. Actually, scripture is 30%, 60%, 100%. I was ready for it. So I was going to confess that. So I broke the bread. And then I said, I declare that because his body was broken for me, as I partake of this, I was going to say that I declare that I'm 30% better because I was ready for that. Suddenly, out of my spirit, he said, I'm 100 times stronger after eating this than I was before. So just, you see that? That's Rhema again. So it came and said, I'm 100 times stronger. So I took it, and every time I took it, I said, I'm 100 times stronger after I've eaten than I was before. So I kept, now in my expedition, I didn't even think about it. So it was about 3 weeks, and I said, hey, where are those symptoms? Completely disappeared. Completely. Do you see that? The same thing that works for whatever it is. So you get into the Logos. You get into feed on the Logos. The Spirit of God will quicken it. I told you, we've read that thing. How many times haven't you seen, like, you know, in fact, during those times, nowadays, like, knowledge tends to abound a bit more. But not many people were teaching the communion in detail, like the Spirit of God revealed it to me at that time. And I didn't even read anybody's revelation on it or whatever it is. But it came to me, came strong, hallelujah, and was quickened. When it came out as Rhema, I was like, you couldn't convince me otherwise. He said, I'm 100 times stronger now than before. So every time I knew, let's say it's 12:20, I'm about to take the communion. I know that at 12:21, when I'm done, I'm 100 times stronger at 12:21 than I was at 12:20. Hallelujah. So that's it. So you see how? Let the Logos of Christ dwell in you richly. Hallelujah. Let the Logos of Christ dwell in you richly. Praise the Lord. And I thank God that I have the Rhema and I can prove it from the Logos. It is doctrine. Hallelujah. The doctrine is set. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Said, my body which is broken for you. Broken for you. Glory to God. Oh yes, I went through Isaiah also. Travel through 52, 53, 54. Glory to God. I was on the journey. Hallelujah. He said, who has believed our report? Who has believed our report? And you know, the thing is, to be able to communicate it also. And with that, I've been able to sometimes virtually walk people out of, like, I just show them the word because it is reproducible. You know, when the thing is a law, it is reproducible. It means that it will work here, it will work somewhere else. Hallelujah. If you mix two colors, you should get the same outcome wherever you are. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So that's it. So you see that the Logos, you cannot have the Rhema without the Logos. You can't have much Rhema without much Logos. And the Logos must be aligned properly. Aligned with the word of his grace and the doctrine of righteousness. The doctrine of righteousness is so important. So as you, everything is falling in line with. That's why I said that, you see, it's important for your doctrine to be correct, because if your doctrine is not, like I told you about John Alexander Dowie. John Alexander Dowie, he tremendous things, because he caught the revelation of the Logos where healing was concerned. But Dowie, I told you about Dowie, how he ripped a tumor from somebody's face and new skin appeared. Okay, so Dowie walked in a certain dimension. In fact, John G. Lake had 16 siblings. He said by the time he was 33, I think about half of them had died. And his dear sister was also at the point of death. It was his wife, I think. And the pastor was consoled, don't worry. You know, the Lord has this mysterious purpose in all these things. He said, no. He cannot accept this. That a God, a loving God in heaven, will want to deprive him, a young man, of his wife. So he obviously realized he wasn't going to get the Logos from this pastor. And so he said, there's only one man he knew. One man he knew who could actually pray that prayer of faith for his wife or sister to get come back life. And that man, he said, was John Alexander Dowie. So those times it was telegram, no phone. So he sent a telegram to Dowie, and Dowie responded. He said, "I have prayed; she will live." Hallelujah! And the time that he read the telegram, the sister came back to life. Became well. So Dowie understood these things and he had this dream on it. But Dowie did not believe in speaking in tongues. In fact, he opposed this so much and fought against it. And began to fight against some of the ministers of either Amy Semple McPherson or Maria Woodward-Etta began to say all kinds of things. And the lady told him that after you're gone, I'll still be here. And because he did not understand, but he was fighting. And Dowie didn't live that long. Do you get what is going on? He didn't live that long because he did not have the fullness of the Logos. The Logos is so important. The doctrine. Hallelujah. Yeah. The doctrine. Glory to God. And then he said, let it dwell in you richly. Let it abound in you richly. Let the Logos of Christ dwell in you richly, richly, richly. Let it be there, pulling from here and there. And then that's why he says that, but strong meat, he said, whoever uses milk, we read it in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13. He said that whoever uses milk is a babe, is unskillful in the word of righteousness. Now, when he says unskillful, what does it bring to mind? In the word of righteousness. Unskillful, there he's talking about swordsmanship. Just like we read in Ephesians 6, right? Put on the armor so that, and with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Rhema, isn't it? So swordsmanship, being able to use the Logos at will. And that is the goal of my teachings, to bring you to a place of mastery of the word. Okay? Where you can apply, you can take the word and use it at will. It's like a builder. Do you understand? He knows that this is what I need for this. Or it's like somebody who is working with, I need this part for this and that. I need you to put them together. And when the Logos of Christ dwells in you richly, inevitably, there'll be abundance of revelation. Abundance of Rhema. Some people have some type of Logos, but in their Logos, God is angry with them. God is seeking them to punish them. God is like a hard taskmaster. God is difficult and all kinds of things. So that Logos, the Spirit of God can work with it somehow, but he cannot work with it so much. Hallelujah. That's why it talks about the doctrine of righteousness. the word of his grace. He said the gospel of the grace of Christ. So when that is settled, he says, let it dwell in you richly, abundantly. So once you fill yourself with it, you'll find that there will be suddenly rhema. And in fact, when the logos abounds in you, another thing is probably because we don't focus on it. So I hadn't focused so much on the at that time the doctrine concerning the communion. I hadn't focused on it so much. But the moment I began to focus on it, the revelation increased, you see. So it's important to hold on to that logos. It's important to hold on to that word. And then revelation will just abound. Revelation will just abound. And you'll find that, so you see, I had to get in and dig it and dig it. And look at that. Look at what the period I went into and got into it. And then I remember the first time I talked about his body broken for you in Rhema, so that your body will not be broken. It was a rhema. It came like everybody, you felt that. You caught something. Do you get what I'm talking about? And that's what happened. So I said it's what? Like pollination. So God gives a rhema, and then he, from rhema, as you speak, you know, you catch that rhema. You catch that rhema. That's why it's important to hear the word. Hearing the word, very important. Hallelujah. Amen. Hearing the word. So then, like I was saying, I had to get in there and dig and dig and dig. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He said that the communion. So buy me communion wine, a big bottle, and then a big loaf of bread. It is not in the bread or the wine itself. It's in the rhema. And I shared about how Elisha healed the fountain of water. And he said that it was healed according to the rhema of Elisha. It's the rhema that gets the job done. He was not establishing a ministry of salt. It was what? Rhema. The Bible says the waters were healed according to the rhema of Elisha. Rhema. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
It's important to get in that logos, feed on it, declare it, think about it. Think about it. Process it over and over and over. And as you do that, what will happen? Suddenly, the rhema comes. And when the rhema comes, you know that you know. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It cannot be separated from you. You become like David's mighty man. Your hand freezes to the sword.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
It cannot be snatched from your hand. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So this is so important. And God wants us to get in, because what did he say? He says that the rhema creates. Hallelujah. He said, if you abide in me, meaning you abide in my word, in my logos, and my rhema abides in you, he said, demand what you want, it will be done. Just demand whatever you want. He said, it will be fabricated for you. Glory to God. It will be fabricated for you. Glory to God. Anything done according to your rhema. Hallelujah. Whatever you demand, glory to God. Let's just rise up and thank the Lord for his word. Let's thank him for his word, the word of his grace, the doctrine of righteousness, the gospel of the kingdom of God, the gospel of the grace of God.
Hallelujah.
Father, we thank you so much. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you adoration. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. For the gospel of the grace of God. Oh, we appreciate you so much, Lord. We appreciate you so much. We want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. For the gospel of the grace of God. That is at work in us. In Jesus' name. And because of this logos, Lord, we thank you for abundance of revelation. Abundance.